Revelation chapter 3. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin the communion class in Revelation 3, verse 14. We made it down to the Laodicean church. And a friend of mine years ago gave me an illustration he had. He used to listen to Charles Half. You know, you remember Charles Half? He used to do the Jewish radio broadcast. He was Jewish, and he was a Messianic Jew. He was Christian. Charles Half, I think it was. And a friend of mine loved to listen to him. And he had a series on him, how he had taught that the Bible was like an onion, like Brother Horton taught. And these different churches represented also the churches and also different time periods. And the last one is our time, Laodicean Church. And when you look around, it's accurate. And it gives us a synopsis of what would happen, you know, globally in each church age. So this would be the Laodicean Church age. And this is Jesus talking, addressing to them in verse 14. He said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, God have always had people that were faithful and true. But this lets us know that this is a growing problem. And this is something he saw a long time ago. And in the beginning, we see that God, he created the light. The light was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And he's always been that way in all of our history. And as long as he was God, he always divided light from darkness. And this church has tried to blend it. You know, they were neither. What makes the difference in being lukewarm, according to what he said, is the love of God. They were neither cold or hot. Mm-hmm. And that's a form of compromise. And then he continued in verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." When people are depressed, if they live that way, and it's, they can see it as a normal way of life, and they don't know that they're miserable. They don't know that they can have the great joy of the Lord, and they can. There are things that I learned, especially as I endeavor to love God's people. I was telling Elise yesterday. I said, when I first asked the Lord to teach me how to love His people consistently, you know, I wanted to do it consistently, not because I didn't want to lose my temper and say something I shouldn't. And I didn't know how to do any better, so I asked the Lord for help. So I expected to learn that, but I didn't know that my job would increase. I would have greater insight. Mm-hmm. I would understand the Word on a greater level. All these wonderful things happen. So when people don't follow God's word, they don't know the joy that they're going to benefit from. That's going to benefit them. They don't know that they're going to experience things. They'll know that they'll have their life will be just like David's. They'll be able to mount up, no matter what happens. They'll be able to mount up because they're watching God. But and they have and but because they're rich, they say, "Well, this is as good as it can be." Or if they have the increase and the riches, that's not a marker. That's just that's just something that's the goodness of God.
Yes.
And but the joy of the Lord comes from loving God. And that's what he's calling us back to, because he wants us to be at our best state. You know, physically, Ray always say he pray for our bodies to be in their design specifications, functioning like God intended. So it is with everything with God, and that's the key. But the problem, the Lord, in communing with God, he's not afraid to tell you what you need to know for your benefit so you can excel. But it has to be your choice. That's why the Word of God can't brainwash a person. It gives you information, and you just have to receive it and build your life by your own will, your own free will, your own free God-given will. You have to choose it. And God wants to be chosen. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now this comes from the ability to see. It happens when we turn on the light. When we receive God's love in our heart, that love wants to do something. It wants to do right. That's how you overcome the law or fulfill the law. We don't have to overcome the law. A lot of people, their focus is on not doing wrong. A lot of churches have presented God that way, and instead of focusing on the Lord, they focus on not doing wrong. And that's a bitter way to live. That's a very, it causes people to be miserable. But if you focus on his love, you don't want to do wrong. It's not a problem. That's how we design. And that's the I say. If you love God, a lot of things fall in place. You can see it for what it is. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And a lot of ministries have left that part out. If God loves you, if God is chastening you, you're in the kingdom. If you're doing wrong and he don't chasten you, you're not in the kingdom. I get concerned when people can do wrong and the Lord says nothing, and they don't have that conviction anymore. And he said, be zealous therefore. Zealousness is good, and repent. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. And that's the standard that it should be. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit in my throne, even as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now he's saying these things so that we can mount up, go forward, and be like him, and not be robbed by the deceitfulness of riches. And sometimes people have anything that changes your focus, it changes everything. But when you're focused on him, you can mount up, you can go forward, you can do the things that that you really want to do. The Spirit of God in you wants to do something. The love of God wants to do something. And I was listening to Revelation chapter 7 this week. And I noticed something. When they sealed the 144,000, and this is the first time I ever really noticed it, that the birth order was changed. And in Revelation 7, Jude is the first. And now I'm going to read the Genesis, the birth order first. The firstborn was Reuben, then Simeon, Levi, and Jude. And then Dan is the fifth. Naphtali is the sixth. Gad is the seventh. Asher is the eighth. The ninth is Issachar. The tenth is Zebulun. The 11th is Joseph. And the 12th is Benjamin. All right. Now time happened. Everything between the time they were born and everything happened, all the prophets rose up, prophesied, the wars happened, the captivities happened, the Assyrian, the Babylonian captivity, and the Media Persian, And then the Grecian Empire, they suffered all these things. They heard all the words of the prophets. All the words of the prophets came to pass. And what they did with that information, even the blindness of Isaiah, they're always those who hold true. And these are the tribes of Israel. That was the 144,000 that was sanctioned during the tribulation. And these are the order of the tribes. The first is Judah, and then Reuben, Gad, Asia, Naphtali. Well, they called them Nephilim. Jewish words and names can be spelled different ways. Manasseh was replaced. I used to say he replaced Dan, but actually Naphtali replaced Dan. And Manasseh was added. And then Simeon was seventh. The eighth was Levi. And then the ninth, 10th, and 11th, and 12th stayed the same. Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and then Benjamin. So these are the tribes that got promoted and also demoted. Judah was promoted. Reuben, the firstborn, was demoted. Gad was promoted. Asher was promoted. Nephilim was promoted. Manasseh was greatly promoted. And then Simeon was demoted. And Levi was demoted. And in Levi, when the kings went astray, Levi went astray, but the sons of Zadok stayed true. So they didn't. There were 144,000 of them to be counted in the eighth position. Out of all the things that happened, they were some people rose, some tribes rose up, and some fell down. And Dan was missing, and I used to wonder why was Dan missing and replaced with Manasseh. And I kept studying. I asked Elder Lewis a long time ago why that happened. And I studied. Dan was the only tribe that ran. They didn't get out of the boats in the days of Deborah. They stayed in their ships. They ran from the enemy. They were the only tribe that ran from the enemy. And they didn't have enough fighting them. That's what I surmised. But they were missing in Revelation. In other words, the things that Jesus tells us in Revelation, if we hold fast to what he's saying, having ears to hear, we rise up too over time. Time won't matter to us. We'll be promoted over time instead of demoted in time. And that's the heart of God. That's what God, the Lord, is trying to help us do. When we commune with him and fellowship with him, and receive, and he, whatever he gives us, we receive it. Whatever we need to correct, we correct it. We're responding to his love, and that's the power and strength of communion, when we respond to him. We'll look at this again, because I went back and looked at the prophecies of Jacob, and Jacob put them in another order, and we'll look at it next week. And he addressed each one. Of course, the ones that was changed, Dan was number 7 and Zebulun was number 5. So we'll look at that later, but I think that, the way people govern their lives positions them, and God positions us by our response, our faith, to do his works. It's not by the offices, it's by your faithfulness. A teacher can be rewarded greater than an apostle. It doesn't matter about the offices, it's the faithfulness. Even the Christians. This is the strength of communion to obey him. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." in remembering him, he's our focus. His words are our focus. And we can see things as they are in real time. We can be the blessing that he always desired us to be. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Any comments as we close?
Actually, that's good. I really like what you said about the Dan didn't have enough fight in him. Wow. Okay. Why did I say this today?
Yeah. That's a requirement.
Yeah. He'd have to fight in us. Yeah. It's good.
All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, for the move of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the prayers that Pastor has guided us to pray. And Lord, I pray that you will do all those things. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.